Blog Talk Radio.
In Jesus. Hello, everyone. Hello, UCA members and visitors. Welcome to this edition of UCA Radio, where you will find music and a message. I am your host, Pastor T. Meyer McCain of Church of Jesus Christ Ministry, which is located at 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 91786. Our services start at 1:30 p.m. every Sunday. So once again, we're located at 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 91786, and our services start at 1:30 p.m. So if you're in that area, or even in, you know, if you're not from California, but you just happen to be in California and in that area, come and worship with us on Sunday afternoon, okay? All right, now call, text, or inbox all your friends and family members and tell them to dial in for this special edition of UCA Radio, 646-668-8537. That's the number. Tell them that. Say dial 646-668-8537, or you can look for my post on Facebook, Twitter, Alignable, or Instagram. And just click on the link where you see the post of this particular program, okay? And you can listen from your computer. You can listen from Facebook all this week. If you see the link. If you see the link this week on Facebook, just click on the link and you can hear the entire program, okay? All this week, maybe even next week too, all right? Oh, and also, don't forget to tune in to The Message of Life with T. Meyer and Tosila McCain. We're on HSBN.TV. And actually, we're on Facebook Live tomorrow, Tuesday, August 30th at 2:30 p.m. You can see us live on Facebook, okay? And you can always catch us on YouTube and many other apps anytime this week. So join us, and you will be blessed, okay? So listen, don't go away. We're going to be right back as we finish or as we continue our series on Who is God, and we're unveiling the mystery. We're covering a lot of things pertaining to the Lord, to our God and Father, and unveiling the mystery as we go along. And hopefully you will be getting more of a revelation of who God is and his plan of the ages, even the revelation of Jesus Christ, unveiling the mystery between God and Christ. And there is a mystery. So don't go away. We will be right back. Here's Kirk Franklin.
Check us out, y'all. He reigns. He reigns.
Yes, indeed, and he is an awesome God. And we're going to continue our teaching, our series on Who is God? Unveiling the Mystery. Now, this segment, we're going to talk about God's will. What is God's will? God's will is for Jews and Gentiles to be one, to become one in this hour. Jews and Gentiles, one has always been his will. You know, even when he chose the Abraham's seed, the Israelites, they were supposed to be the light of the world to draw all people to God so that all people could be one. But, of course, you know, they had their mishaps and their little things that they did and got sidetracked by Satan, of course. But it's still God's will for Jews and Gentiles to be one. You see, let's just open with a prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, I pray that you open up the hearts and the minds of the people, that they will understand the words that are being taught today. Lord, that they will understand and get the revelation, the unveiling of the mystery of your plan of the ages, what's in your heart, Lord, what you desire. So help them to understand, O God. And let these words, let your message today stay with the people. Stay with them, Lord, so they will know more and more daily who you are in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And it's God's will for Jews and Gentiles to be one, because there are many conflicts when it comes to Christians and Jews, physical Israel and spiritual Israel. But why? Why is there such a conflict? What many people haven't considered is the first Christians were Jews. The whole Jewish community considered them Jews during that time for a long while. The Jewish community considered Christian Jews as Jews for a long while. But both the physical Jewish people and Christians of today, they never stopped to consider that Israel gave birth to Christianity. Christianity was a small remnant of Jews in the beginning that grew from out of the nation of Israel. But ultimately, Jews and Gentiles, Gentiles meaning other nations, Gentiles mean other nations, are to become one in Christ, which means a Jew becomes a Christian and a Gentile becomes a Christian, which means both are then Jews, which means chosen people. We are to be one in Christ. Paul really explained this beautifully, and all people have to do is read and allow the Holy Spirit to give them understanding in what is being said in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 15 through 22. Having abolished in the flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain, that is to say two people, or two, you know, groups of people, one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body, by the cross, by him dying on the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Well, what is enmity? What do you mean by that? Enmity means hostility, hatred, antagonism, animosity, ill will, and bad feelings. Continuing, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off. We preach peace to the Gentiles. That's those who are afar off, the Gentiles, and to them that were nigh or near, which is the Jews. For through him, Jesus Christ, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Both Jew and Gentiles or other nations have access to God the Father through Jesus Christ. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, both Jews and Gentiles being one building, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. God is going to join us together as one house, with God dwelling in us individually and collectively. This is for Jews and Gentiles, those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said he had sheep not of this fold. Who could be, you know, like, who could these other sheep be? Jesus said it himself, I have sheep not of this fold. Well, who is it? Who are these other sheep? The answer, us. We are the sheep that wasn't directly of the fold that he was ministering to at the time. We are his other sheep. The apostles were told at first to go to the lost sheep of Israel. Then later, after his resurrection, he sent them into all the world. Mark 16, verse 15 and 16. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That means both Jews and Gentiles. He that believeth of the Jews and the Gentiles and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Nothing has changed. We still have to complete this great commission. This is the same commission given to Adam and Eve in the beginning when the Lord said, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it. But Adam and Eve never completed the great commission. However, God's church of anointed Christian people, which is a mixture of Jews and Gentiles, will complete the great commission. We are not only going to multiply and replenish the earth with born-again people in the full likeness and image of God. I'm talking the full likeness and image of God, the glory, all of that. But we are also going to subdue the earth. We're going to subjugate, conquer, vanquish, defeat, overpower the forces of evil, and take control. Oneness was God's plan even from before the day he called Abram and changed his name to Abraham. God made his promise to Abram way back then. He told him something that would come to pass in our day. The changing of Abraham's name gave opportunity for the world to be converted to God. Therefore, he confirmed his promise by changing Abram's name to Abraham, which means a father of many nations or exalted father. Genesis 17, verses 4 and 5. As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee. It's with you, talking to Abraham. And thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall your name any more be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made you. God promised Abraham a seed, and that seed that God was referring to was not Isaac. Although God blessed Abraham with Isaac, his physical seed, in his old age, this was in order to start the generations from Abraham to Mary, which is where the promised seed was to come forth. But that promised seed was Jesus. It was God manifested in the flesh. It was God himself. He was the seed that he promised to Abraham. The Jewish Christians in the early church still considered Gentiles, meaning other nations, as being unclean until the Lord showed Peter that he must share the gospel to the Gentiles. Peter had to understand that what God has cleansed shall not be considered unclean anymore. Acts chapter 10, verses 9 through 16. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry, and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending upon him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." Common means dirty, profane, unwashed. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." Don't call it common if I cleansed it. This was done thrice or three times, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. God had sent an angel to Cornelius, a Gentile, and told him to send for Peter. But Peter didn't understand all of this at first, but it came clear to him that he must preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. All the different animals in his vision represented Gentiles, which like I said, means other nations. When Peter preached to the Gentiles, this is what happened in Acts chapter 10, verses 44 through 48. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, fell on all of them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision, now the Holy Spirit fell on the Gentiles and those which were of the Jewish, and those Jewish Christians that were with Peter, you know, they were there. And the Holy Spirit fell, and those that were with Peter, which believed, were astonished. The Jews that were with the Christian Jews that were with Peter, they were astonished because the Holy Spirit had fallen on the Gentiles. As many as came with Peter, they were astonished because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Spirit as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. They asked him to stay. The Gentiles received the Holy Spirit just like the Jews. And the Gentiles only heard about Jesus. They knew nothing of the laws of Moses. Yet many of the Christian Jews wanted to keep the Gentile Christians tied to the law. Many of the Christian Jews that were of the party of the Pharisees, who were more of the religious sect, went among the Gentiles teaching that Gentile Christians must be circumcised, and it became a big dispute and debate between the Christian Jews and Paul and Barnabas. The argument got so heated that they had to bring this issue to the council at Jerusalem among the apostles and elders. This was a big deal. But once they found out that Gentiles was being received by God just like Jews, they had questions. Should they command the Gentiles to follow the Torah and all the laws of Moses and be circumcised as well? Like I said, this was a big problem. But not even the traditional Jews were able to keep all the laws of Moses themselves. So why put Jewish laws and customs and traditions on new converts among the Gentile Christians? Then James, known as the brother of Jesus, who seemed to be the leader of the apostles, gave his answer to them. Book of Acts, chapter 15, verses 19 through 21. Therefore, this is James speaking, it is my judgment that we do not trouble those who are turning to God from among the Gentiles. Instead, we should write to them, telling them to abstain from food polluted by idols or offered to idols. Stay away from that. from sexual immorality, all kind of fornication, from the meat of strangled animals. From the meat of strangled animals. What does that mean? Animals that are killed by strangulation because the blood is still in them. And from blood. This could be to refrain from shedding blood or drinking blood, because many of the pagan religions did that. For the law of Moses has been preached in every city from the earliest times and is read in the synagogues on every Sabbath. You see, the Jewish Christians that had understanding didn't want the new Gentiles, they didn't want the new Gentile converts to be bound by their Jewish traditions, customs and culture, not even bound by the letter of the law concerning circumcision, but still wanting them to know God. The Christian Jews wanted to keep the new converted Christian Gentiles away from doing these ungodly things, because that was the only way that the Jewish Christians could fellowship with Gentile Christians. Okay, so what is true circumcision? Why was all of that such a big deal? What is true circumcision? This is what Paul said later about circumcision, which is something that theologians, Jewish rabbis, Christian pastors, and evangelists should really take note of and believe. Romans chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. This made it clear that because of Jesus Christ, an Israelite and a Gentile who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ can become a Jew, because both are now Christians, and they are both circumcised in the heart. During the early days of Gentile Christians, these Gentile Christians were welcomed in the synagogues, where they could learn of the Torah and get more of an understanding of the Book of Psalm and the prophets and even of the laws of Moses if they desired to. The Christian Jews wanted them to have more of a revelation of Jesus Christ. So the Gentile Christians went to the synagogues every Sabbath for a while. Now, they weren't allowed in the temple, but they could go to the synagogues that was their local in the local areas. But the stout, non-believing, traditional Jewish community would not allow Gentiles into the temple. This is where the separation of the Jewish Christians from the traditional Jewish community slowly began. Traditional non-believing Jews believed that they should have no fellowship with Gentiles whatsoever. They didn't want the temple to be defiled with Gentiles. Okay, so what happened? Why the separation today? You see, there's still a separation today between Christians, who the Jews considers Gentiles, and the Jewish people. Why is it that Jews do not see Christians as Jews, and the Christians still consider themselves as Gentiles? Christians, we are not Gentiles. We're not other nations. We're the nation of God. We are the nation of Jesus Christ. The separation started around 60 to 70 AD. The Jews began to rebel against the Roman Empire, and as a result of this, the Romans invaded Israel and destroyed the Jewish temple, and the people scattered. The Romans were so upset with the Jewish people that they also levied a tax just to punish the Jews. It was called the Fiscus Judicus tax. This tax was for taxing only the practicing Jews, those that practiced Judaism. Now, during this time, the early church, which were primarily Jews, and the Romans didn't think that Christianity was a different religion from Judaism. If anything, the Christian Jews probably considered themselves as a sect within Judaism. However, because of the taxing of the Jews, which gathered every Sabbath at the synagogues, and anyone who practiced Jewish things pertaining to religious Jewish traditions and customs were taxed. So the early church petitioned the emperor to distinguish the Christians as a separate religion to avoid paying the fiscus Ludicus tax, since it only pertained to Judaism. So they no longer went to the synagogues. Therefore, the Gentile Christians and some of the Jewish Christians started having services at their homes. And they were growing, but without the knowledge of the teachings of the Old Testament, the prophets and the book of Psalms, the Torah. And because of this, the church was looking less and less Jewish. There were many reasons that Judaism separated from Christianity, but the main reason was Satan himself. No matter how political it seemed, the split took place in the first century AD. Here are some of the reasons for the split between the Jewish Christians and the Jews. Number one, the rejecting of Jesus Christ as the Messiah. This started causing a separation. Number two, the Council of Jerusalem. Number three, the destruction of the Second Temple. Number four, the Jewish tax in 70 AD. Number five, the Council of Jamnia, which was the council of Jewish authorities who decided to exclude believers of Jesus Christ from the synagogues altogether. Many believe it was this council to whom John was referring to in John chapter 9, verse 22. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews, the council of Jamnia, had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, that Jesus was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. There was another reason, a sixth reason, that the Jewish Christians separated themselves from the traditional Jews, and that was the Bar Kokhba revolt. It was the Bar Kokhba revolt. Bar Kokhba means son of light. He was a man that led a revolt in 132 AD, of which many in Judaism believed him to be the Messiah, and they followed after him. The Jewish people followed after him. They were looking for him to deliver them out of the hands of the Romans. This caused even the remaining Jewish Christians to separate from the Jews in the synagogues even more, because they knew from the words of Jesus and the apostles, or letters of Paul, that false messiahs was going to come. So they took no part in this revolt. So they were looked upon as traitors by the traditional non-believing Jewish community. Therefore, the Christian Jews separated themselves. You must understand that when the New Testament was written, Judaism was not a singular movement. There were several groups that was within Judaism. You had the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the Essenes, and some of the Jews that believed in Jesus were known as Nazarenes. All of these different movements were in Judaism, and as they separated within themselves, they began to be more and more detached one from another until the Christian Jews were kicked out of the synagogues also. They were cursed and no longer considered Jews by either groups. Then came the days of Constantine, who was thought to be the first pope. He had a vision of the cross and was told to conquer in the name of the cross. Constantine was an anti-Semite, a person who is hostile or prejudiced against Jews. Constantine unified the Roman Empire with some Christian beliefs, which further pushed the traditional Jews away from Christianity completely. This was all a move of Satan to keep God's people from unifying and becoming a powerful people against Satan and his demons. Satan keeps a veil over the face of Christians today by keeping us separated into denominations and separating Jews to keep them from knowing that Jews and Gentiles are to be one nation in Jesus Christ under God. People today, both Christians and Jewish Christians, still don't understand that a Jewish Christian is still a Jew, and a Gentile Christian is also a Jew, because we are both the end product of the promise given to Abraham. So why then do Christians and most Christian leaders believe and teach their congregation that we are replacing Jewish people? This is totally false, although there are a few uninformed Christian pastors and evangelists that are teaching this theory. It's called the replacement theory, that, you know, Christians are replacing Jews. But in reality, it should be a teaching of oneness. The leaders should be teaching oneness. Here's something else that Paul said that can shed a little more light on the subject. This is in Romans chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. He said, "Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Through Jesus Christ, the promised seed, Abraham has become the father of many nations, and we have become the children of the promise along with whosoever believes and have received Jesus Christ. And now these nations are to become one nation under God. As it is written, the kingdoms of this world is become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." That's what America was supposed to be, one nation under God, indivisible. But America was only a type of the kingdom of God in its beginning. Every true believing Christian today is the promised seed. We are the seed of the promise, the seed that the Lord has blessed because Jesus dwells within us. We must understand that Christians are not Gentiles, but all other nations that do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are Gentiles, even if these other nations are Jews, are, you know, your traditional physical Jews. If they don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they're Gentiles. We are the blessed seed, Isaiah 61, verse 9. "And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. Because Jesus Christ, who is the incorruptible seed, dwells within us. Christ in you, the hope of glory." This is a mystery that have been revealed to us, his saints, but still a mystery among the other nations, among Gentiles, until the day that we unveil Jesus Christ, who is within us, to the world. Colossians chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. "Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest," it's made clear, "to the saints," to God's saints, "to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the other nations, among the Gentiles. which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We read in Scripture that the Holy Spirit fell on the Gentiles just like he did on the Jews, which shows that God is no respecter of persons. Physical Israel was chosen in the beginning to be a light that would lead other nations to God, but they blew it many times as they went a-whoring after other gods, and then finally rejecting the true Messiah. But God is still gathering his people together in this hour, both Jew and Gentile. Romans chapter 9, verse 24 through 26. Even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles, as he saith also in Hosea, the prophet Hosea, I will call them my people which were not my people, and her beloved which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. God is calling his people from out of the world, out of religion, out of religions and out of witchcraft, out of an ungodly lifestyle, out of bondage to sin and out of ungodly governments, and out of secret societies and ungodly organizations, even out of pagan Christianity, and out of spiritual Babylon, which is spiritual Egypt, and the Roman empires of today. He is calling us out of traditional Judaism and out of all Gentile nations to be joined to him for the purpose of entering into his kingdom and into oneness in him. So let us take heed and answer his command. He says, come out of her, my people. But it seems as if God is having a hard time with many of the ministers of today. They seem to be preaching and teaching things that are contrary to the true word of God. We have ministers today trying so hard to relate to young people in their congregation that they start to teach humanism instead of the gospel. Pastors and our clergymen and women, our clergymen and women begin to do things that people in the world does. They start to get tattoos and hang out at bars and have a few drinks. They start to have their groupies and women on the side. They try to change their way of talking to sound more like the young people of today. They condone things like same-sex marriage and homosexuality, and they make the people feel good in their sins by preaching a false grace. A false grace makes your congregation cling on to the things of the flesh instead of the things of the spirit. This is the broad way. That is why there are so many of these big churches, because the pastors or teachers of the world is no longer teaching or preaching the pure word of God. Instead, they are teaching and preaching money and materials. They become motivational speakers. This is very popular today. They teach a false grace so that they can smooth over their own sins, their own bondages, their own issues. They teach these things along with other worldly things, and in a very prideful way. And some of them who might be preaching the word of God don't apply it for themselves. They talk the talk but don't walk the walk. I heard a first lady at a big church say that we should preach more on sex. People don't need you to teach them about sex. Your congregation can teach you about sex. They know how to commit adultery and fornication just like you do. We need to teach our people the pure and true word of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to preach the kingdom of God in this hour more than ever and prepare the people to see God face to face. Pastors, that's our job. Prepare your people to see God face to face. If people in the congregation sin, they need to feel convicted by the Holy Spirit. They should feel shame, bad, embarrassed, not feeling like it's okay, it's cool. When you get to the place that you feel good about your sins, then you are on the broad way, which leads to death. And many are on this path. But the true believers desire to walk the straight and narrow way. Verse 7. Matthew 7, verse 14. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Few there be that find it. It's a walk of discipline. So you may ask, so okay then, what is a Christian? A true Christian is a lover, follower, and believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. They are disciples, saints. Christians are people of faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. We do not look at the things in the natural for our continual existence and survival, but we look at what we cannot see through our faith. Our faith is proof that God exists. It is one of the gifts and fruit of the Spirit. Faith is of God. Faith lets us know that we receive all of what we need and want from the invisible realm of God's dimensions, which is heaven. We simply bring what we need from the throne room of God into the natural realm, which is the now. In other words, we take what is in heaven because we know it exists, because our faith tells us so, and we bring it into this natural realm so that it can become visible. Real true Christians are Christ-like people. We are a forgiven people and a people who forgives. And we are anointed by the Holy Spirit. We are saved, delivered. We are sons and daughters of the living God. In Scripture, we are referred to as God's army, saints of the Most High God, the bride of Christ, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and the church which is his body. Christians are the branches that are connected to the true vine, Jesus Christ, which makes us together with Jesus the tree of life in this hour. Once we're fully connected to the vine, Jesus Christ, a tree that all nations will come to for life, provision, protection, clothing, and for healing and deliverance and for the casting out of demons and for the raising of the dead. God will work through us to make us the answers to the ills of the world today by and through Jesus Christ. A true Christian has Jesus Christ dwelling in them richly. They are a supernatural people that have access to all things in the heavenly realm. They are people who can be translated into heaven or transported anywhere in the world to do God's will. Christians will work with angels and the host of heaven to bring forth the kingdom of God on this earth. Christians are the sons of God. We are powerful people. We are the ones who will be changed into the full likeness and image of the glorified Lord Jesus Christ, which is the likeness and full image of God. That's what a Christian truly is, or what we should be. Or shall I say, that's what we're going to become. Hang in there. There's a great anointing that's coming upon God's people, and we will be seen. And as it's written, that the creature is waiting. The world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. The world is waiting for God to make us clearly seen. And that way the world will see that God is real, because they see Christ in us of a truth, as he rises from within us to complete his work and do his perfect will on this earth. But we have to get in our places. Christians, we have to get in our spot. We have to walk in our office, in our calling that God has called us into. But we have to walk and get in our places in a perfect way. We have to do it for God's glory only, not ours. None of our glory should be in this. It has to be for God's glory only that we do his work. That's not happening today. Too many people are taking the credit for God's work, and that's not right. That's not what should be happening. So let us step into our place, step into our office, give God the glory, and really do the work. Really do the work. Lift him up. You lift him up, he will lift you up. Don't lift up yourself. Let God lift you up. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Who taught the sun where to stand in the morning? And who told the ocean you can know? Evening, whose words alone can change.
the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, he lives. Thank you for joining us. And we really appreciate it. Hey, don't forget, tomorrow, between 2 and 3 on Facebook Live, you will see Pastor T. Meyer McCain and my wife, Tasila, and we will be hosting The Message of Life. All right, it'll be on Facebook Live. It'll be on HSBN.TV as well. So you'll be able to see us and hear the messages that we bring forth. You can catch us anytime on YouTube and many of the other applications and platforms on the Internet, okay? So don't forget that. Also, don't forget Wednesday evening at 8 p.m. Pacific time, okay? That's 8 p.m. Pacific time. We have Christian Talk. And we usually have guests, we bring a good message, and it's very edifying, and it strengthens. A lot of people have been blessed on our show. Sometimes we have guests, sometimes it's just Pastor T and T Meyer and Tasila. We're just bringing God's word. So either way, you will be blessed. That's Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Pacific time. So check your time zone and keep in mind that these radio programs are worldwide, so there'll be different times. So make sure you check your time zone and dial in or listen from your computer as you see a post for those particular programs, okay? And remember that we're here with UCA Radio. UCA stands for United Christian Ambassadors, and if you are a Christian, then you are an ambassador for Christ. And we have work to do. So that's what UCA stands for. And we're here every Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific time. So that would be 6 p.m. Eastern. Then wherever you're living, you would have to check your time zone. And you can go ahead and tune in. Okay, you will be blessed. And I truly hope that you would tell a lot of your friends and family members to tune in to UCA Radio to hear music and a message, and then on Christian Talk on Wednesdays, and check us out on anytime pretty much for The Message of Life. If you want to go to YouTube and find us, just go ahead and put The Message of Life, T. Meyer. My name is spelled T-I-E-M-E-Y-E-R, T. Meyer McCain, or Tasila, T-O-S-I-E-L-A. So you put T. Meyer and Tasila McCain, The Message of Life, and you YouTube us, and you can see a lot of our other programs. You can click on whichever program you want to see. So make sure you do that. It's important for us to get the word out to the people, the word of God to the people. So spread the word about these programs so many can hear. Okay, God bless you guys, and thank you for tuning in. See you next week, and see you Wednesday. Bye-bye.